Welcome back to the second module of 6th lesson civics, understanding our criminal justice system. Before going to the second module, let us have a small revision of the first module important points. There are four key players in the criminal justice system. Do you remember who they are? Yes, first one is police, second one public prosecutor, third one defense lawyer, and fourth one judge. You have already studied the role of police in investigating a crime. In this module, you are going to learn the role of public prosecutor and judge. You have studied fundamental rights of an arrested person. Article 22 of the Constitution guarantees certain fundamental rights to every arrested person. Do you remember the points? Yeah, first point, the right to be informed at the time of arrest. The offense at the time of arrest, the offense for which the person is being arrested should be informed. And second point, within 24 hours of arrest, the person should be presented before a magistrate. And they are not supposed to be ill-treated or tortured during arrest or custody. Confession made in the police custody cannot be taken as evidence against them. And finally, a boy under 15 years of age and women cannot be called to the police station only for questioning. Now, we are going to learn some of the procedures that police officers have to follow for arrest, detention, and interrogation. Actually, Supreme Court of India has laid down these requirements and procedure. And they are known as D.K. Basu guidelines. Now let us see what is it. First point, the police officials who carry out the arrest of interrogation should wear clear, accurate and visible identification and name tags with their designation. So the police officers, when they go to arrest, they have to wear clear, accurate uniform is important, name tag with their designation, that is also very important. And second point, a memo of arrest should be prepared at the time of arrest, and it should include the time, date of arrest, and after that it should be attested by at least one witness. This witness could be a family member of the person arrested. And after that, the arrest memo should be countersigned by the person arrested. And the person arrested or detained or being interrogated has the right to inform a relative or a friend or well-wisher. And finally, just imagine if the friend or relative lives outside the district, then it is the duty of the police inform them within 8 to 12 hours of arrest. They should be informed the time, place of arrest and venue of custody. It must be notified by the police within 8 to 12 hours of arrest. So the next one is first information report or FIR. It is with the registration of an FIR that the police can begin their investigation into a crime. When Mr. Shinde complains about the theft, immediately he prepared an FIR, first information report. So the law states that it is compulsory for an officer in charge of the police station to register an FIR whenever a person gives information about a cognizable offense. What is the meaning of cognizable offense? Cognizable offense means an offense for which the police may arrest a person without the permission of the court. This information can be given to the police officer either orally or in writing. The affected person either can write or orally give this information. The FIR usually mentions the date, time, and the place of offense. So these points should be mentioned in FIR, like a date, time, and place of offense. And not only that, details the basic facts of the offense, including description of an event. If known, the identity of the accused persons and witness is also mentioned. FIR also states the name and address of the complainant. Who is complainant? The person who gives the complaint. So FIR states the name and address, and there is a prescribed form in which the police registers an FIR, and it is signed by the complainant also. And complainant also has a legal right to get a free copy. Okay, complainant will get a copy of FIR from the police. Now we'll see the role of the public prosecutor. Who is the public prosecutor? The public prosecutor, actually he represents the interest of the state. The role of public prosecutor begins once police has conducted the investigation and filed the charge sheet in the court. He has no role to play in the investigation. So it is the duty of the police to investigate the case. Public prosecutor doesn't have any role in investigation. Once the investigation is over, once the police conducted the investigation and filed the charge sheet, then the public prosecutor's role begins. The public prosecutor must conduct a prosecution on behalf of the state. So he is appointed by the state on behalf of the state. As an officer of the court, it is his or her duty to act impartially. So he should be impartial and present full and material facts, witness, evidence before the court to enable the court to decide the case. So these are the functions of the public prosecutor. He represents the interest of the state. His role begins when the police has conducted the investigation and filed the charge sheet. He doesn't have any role in the investigation. He has to conduct prosecution on behalf of the state, and then he has to act impartially, and his duty is to present the full material and facts, witness and evidence before the court. Now let us see what is the role of the judge. Actually, judge is like an umpire in a game and conducts the trial impartially in an open court. Umpire cannot be partial. Just like that, the judge is also like an umpire in a game, conducts the trial impartially. So he will not be partial and conducts it in an open court. The judge hears all the witness and any other evidence presented by the prosecution and defense. The judge decides whether the accused person is guilty or innocent on the basis of evidence presented and in accordance with the law. So after listening the witness statement and other evidence, judge decides whether the person is guilty or innocent on the basis of evidence provided. If the accused is convicted, then the judge pronounces sentence. He may send the person to jail or impose a fine, or depending upon what the law prescribes. So he prescribes the sentence, pronounces the sentence, punishment. According to the crime, he pronounces the sentence. Now we'll see what is a fair trial. Let us for a moment imagine what might have happened if the judge decided to try Shanti's case very differently. What if the court did not give a copy of charge sheet and statements of witness to Shanti? What if he held the trial in secret location where neither Shanti nor Sushil were present? What if he did not give Shanti's lawyer, Advocate Roy, enough time to question the witness of the prosecution, such as Mrs. Shinde and Mr. Shinde, and instead had already decided that Shanti was guilty? If this all had happened, then it would be a case of unfair trial. This is because for a trial to be fair, several different procedures have to be observed. Article 21 of the Constitution that guarantees the right to life states that a person's life or liberty can be taken away only by following a reasonable and just legal procedure. A fair trial ensures that Article 21 of the Constitution is upheld. Now, let us return to Shanti's case as described in the storyboard and identify the essential elements of a fair trial, or in other sense, important features of a fair trial. Definitely, Shanti has got justice because that was a fair trial. Now, what are the elements of a fair trial, or what are the features of a fair trial? Firstly, Shanti was given a copy of charge sheet and all other evidence that the prosecution presented against her. So who is the accused person here? Shanti. So she was given a copy of charge sheet. So in order to be a fair trial, this is very, very important. Accused person should be given a copy of the charge sheet. And second point, Shanti was charged with the offense of theft was defined as a crime in the law. And the trial was held in an open court in public view. Her brother Sushil could attend the court hearings. The trial was held in the presence of the accused. Now, in order to be a fair trial, this is also very, very important. The trial should be held in an open court in the presence of the accused. So in this case, the trial was held in an open court and presence of the accused. Who is the accused? Shanti. And Shanti's lawyer. Who is Shanti's defense lawyer? Advocate Kamala Roy. Kamala Roy was given an opportunity to cross-examine all the prosecution witnesses. Advocate Roy was given an opportunity to present witnesses in Shanti's defense. So this is also a very important feature of a fair trial. Defense lawyer should be given an opportunity to cross-examine all the prosecution witnesses. And next one, although the police filed a case of theft against Shanti, the judge assumed her to be innocent. It was the responsibility of the prosecution to prove beyond reasonable doubt that Shanti was guilty. In this case, the prosecution failed to do so. It is significant that the judge decided the matter only on the basis of evidence before the court. Again, in this case also, the judge decided the matter on the basis of evidence. The judge did not jump to the conclusion that Shanti was the thief just because she was a poor maid servant. Okay, on the basis of evidence only, he decided whether she was guilty or not. Instead, the judge remained impartial. So in order to be a fair trial, judge should be impartial. And since the evidence showed that some young men and not Shanti was the thief, he set free Shanti. In Shanti's case, justice was only done to her because she was given a fair trial. So we can 100% surely say that case, actually she was given a fair trial. Shanti was given a fair trial because the trial was held in the presence of accused. It was held in the open court and the accused person Shanti was given a copy of charge sheet and the lawyer, defense lawyer, was given an opportunity to cross-examine all the prosecution witnesses and the judge decided the matter on the basis of evidence and judge was impartial. These are all the features of a fair trial. The Constitution and law both state that all of the persons that we have discussed in this chapter should carry out their role in proper manner. So here, if four key players carry out their roles in a proper manner, then only we'll get justice. Everyone will get justice. What this means is that they all need to work to ensure that every citizen, irrespective of their class, caste, gender, religious and ideological background, gets a fair trial when accused. The rule of law, which says that everyone is equal before the law, would not make much sense if every citizen were not guaranteed a fair trial by the Constitution. Thank you.